Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness and kindness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God.
It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Well, good morning. Happy anniversary. Wow, what a day. I mean, I just can't believe it's been 10 years. It's crazy. City Kids did amazing, didn't they? Reading Psalm 100. I think it is a perfect scripture for today. Think of how it opens. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That's how I feel, exactly. I'm just overwhelmed with thankfulness for you. I mean, so many of you over the last 10 years have invested so much yourselves, your energy, your resources, your time, a few tears along the way as well. I mean, I'm just so incredibly grateful for you. I'm thankful also for the kind of church that God is shaping us to be. Psalm 100, though it's short, shows us significant ways in which God is shaping us. Three different directions: his breadth, depth, and height. First of all, his breadth. With seven imperatives and five verses, there is a refreshing intensity of unrestrained joy. There's an invitation that it begins with. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. But notice, it's not just an invitation for the nation of Israel, but for the entire earth. I mean, God's reach is radically broad. There's an incredible breadth to it. It's not local, it's global. It stretches across people and nations and cultures. Why? Because worship is not an insider activity by people who are really religious. It's a human instinct. We all worship. A quote that has really been important to us at City Church is by David Foster Wallace, who would not have described himself as a Christian, but he said this, interestingly, in the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there is no such thing as atheism. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. That's been core to us at City Church, that we are all the same. You say, no, that's ridiculous. Very different stories, different backgrounds, but we're all built down deep with this insatiable thirst. And because of that, it's been very important from the very beginning of City Church that this be a place not just for those who already believe, but for people who have never believed, people who used to believe and wonder if they'll ever believe again, for people who are just in process, because let's be honest, we all are, a place that respects questions and values curiosity, a place where you can belong even before you believe. Because of the breadth of God's reach, we're always encouraging people not just to come to worship, but to invite others and welcome others to do that as well. And we try to be very intentional in making sure that this time is accessible to people who aren't used to going to church or who've had it up to here with religion. We want it to be comprehensible, understandable to people who don't already speak the language. Why? Because as William Temple, who at one point was the Archbishop of Canterbury, said, the church is the one institution that exists for the benefit of those outside of it. That's the breadth of God's reach. But Psalm 100 also speaks about the depth of it. Worship isn't a shallow feeling. There is real depth and substance to it. It's rooted in robust truth. At the center of the psalm is another invitation: know that the Lord is God. And of course, it's not just knowing facts about God, it's knowing him. You can know a lot of facts, interesting things about someone and never know them. But Christianity is offering up this radical opportunity to enter into an experiential knowledge, a relationship with God, encountering Him. And one of the remarkable things is that when we dive into the deep ocean depth of who God is, in all of His spectacular glory, or as we like to say, His enchanting beauty, something else happens. You know what that is? We begin to actually know ourselves better. The poet Emily Dickinson said, "I am out with lantern looking for myself." I mean, it's one of the modern conundrums, isn't it, that though we live in a day where we can know so much about so many things, I think a lot of us have this gnawing sense, I don't really know myself. The Bible says that lantern is the knowledge of God. That the more we know Him deeply, the more we begin to know ourselves. As Psalm 103 says, that we are His, that we are His people, the sheep of His pasture, that we belong to Him. This is where identity comes from. This is who we are. But of course, it doesn't come easily, does it? Psalm 100 wouldn't need to have all these imperatives peppered throughout if it came naturally. So what can help us? Let's look at that finally. We've seen the breadth of God's reach, the depth of who He is, and finally, the height. Psalm 100 ends by lifting our eyes. The Lord is good, and His love endures forever. These are two truths that can lift us, enabling us individually and as a church to flourish. These are two rails upon which the train of faith can ride, ascending even the highest mountains of our lives. What are those two rails? The Lord is good on the one hand. This is answering the question, can I trust you? Look, life is challenging, and oftentimes it makes our faith confusing. But this is saying that God is one you can trust. Plenty of you have had leaders, maybe employers, maybe parents, that you thought you could trust, and then there was something that happened and you were disillusioned. Couldn't really lean into their integrity. The Bible says God's character is impeccable. You can trust Him, that He is, no matter what happens, good, always good. He is good no matter what. And then the other rail is that His love endures forever. And that word for love, very familiar in the Old Testament, is the Hebrew word chesed, which means God's unrelenting, tenacious, unwavering love. It's not based on what we deserve, but on His determination to love us. Another quote that's really been part of City Church from day one by Fyodor Dostoevsky in his book, The Idiot. Beauty, he said, will save the world. The New Testament shows us what that beauty is. Jesus Christ left the heights of heaven and entered into the very depths of our brokenness. He lived that ultimately beautiful life from first to last. And yet on the cross, He bore the weight of our brokenness. And what does that mean? It means that Christianity is not about proving ourselves so that maybe one day God will love and accept us. No, it's about accepting that God has already proven His love for us in and through the life, death, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we drive that truth deep into our hearts, it has the power to change everything. It makes us want to have an astonishing breadth to our life, individually and as a church, that we start welcoming people in that we would never have thought we would. It also, as we contemplate this love deep in our heart of the one who gave up absolutely everything for us, it causes us to move out in life wanting to give up absolutely everything for Him, to know Him and love Him more deeply. This love, this beauty of the gospel is what has animated City Church from our very first day. And it's this love that will lift us to the heights. Let's pray. I've never ended a sermon on a pun, so there you go. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day. Thankful beyond words for everything, Father, and we pray now as we come to Your table, that we might grow more deeply in our knowledge and love of you, that you might use us to bring beauty into broken places. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.